Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
20 years after 9/11, how was that day on Wall Street and how did the financial heart of the world change? This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Ididebumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And Peter, yeah, you were there 20 years ago on the floor, you were around Wall Street. How did you experience that day, 9/11/2001, and maybe how did Wall Street change over the years?
Thank you, guys. Welcome. It's good to see Salah and you. It is really kind of a solemn day here on the floor of the Stock Exchange. Obviously, we've got greetings and honors coming in from all over the world, and we hosted this morning the families of the two brokers who we lost their lives during the attack here on the floor, Tommy Sullivan and Mr. Sutcliffe. And so it was really sort of powerful to meet the families after 20 years. My memory of the day is quite distinct. You know, there are experiences that we have in life that really are ingrained in our being. Sometimes we have to put them in a box on the shelf because they're just too much to live with on a daily basis. For me, that day, I was coming into work as I had flown in from Norway on a Sunday night, the night before, at a friend's wedding. And I arrived back around midnight with my parents. And I came into work as normally around 8:52. I got out of the subway, and as the subway was going underground, I obviously didn't know it, but at 8:46, 8:47 in the morning, we heard a grumbling in the train. And as I exited the subway at 8:52 in the morning, we could see ash coming down from the sky. And as I walked towards the Stock Exchange, you could see some debris hanging on George Washington's statue. And obviously the whole financial district at that time was not as set up the way it is now, with a lot of barriers, a lot of police and whatnot. Obviously, it's always been a big security place, but it was not obviously as it is today. Those changes happened as a result of 9/11. But as we got closer to the exchange, our security, knowing me as somebody who had already worked here for 15 years at the time, sort of shuffled us into the exchange, said obviously something is going on, and they brought us into the building and continued a lockdown. As we entered the room where we were trading then, there were five trading rooms at the time, not only the main room in the garage, but we had expanded rooms. Of course, it was before Manuel's time, but he knows what I'm speaking about. There were multiple rooms on the floor of the exchange. We got to our spot where our company was. I worked for a company called Robert Corley Securities at the time at 30 Broad Street, just a room over from the main room of the exchange. And one of the people who worked with us, one of the clerks' father, was the head of ADRs at Cantor Fitzgerald. And he was on the phone with his son. His name was Chicky Pabone. And Angel Pabone, who was our clerk at the time, was on the phone with his father. And his father told us that the building had been hit. We weren't clear. And obviously, as the story unfolded over the next few minutes, the second plane hit. And then at that point, we understood that we were under attack. We started really working the phones, calling our family members, as we understood people would be, of course, fearful of what was going on. I called people in Europe. I called my wife and my parents to let them know that we were okay, but we did not know what was really going on. about 5 or 10 minutes later, Angel Pabone, the clerk, was on the phone with his father, and he said, "Dad, what's going on?" He said that they were told that this was a terrorist attack, that they were going to be taken to the roof and evacuated by helicopter out of the building. And then the phone went dead. And he unfortunately was never seen again. But so it's a hard memory. You know, it's a sad memory. Obviously, the world changed that day. But I will quickly tell you that over the next couple of hours, we did not obviously know what was going on. At 11:47 in the morning, we were evacuated by four New York City police officers who came up to the room and said, "Guys, we're not really clear what's happening, but if you'd like to evacuate, you can come with us." And so they told us to wrap our shirts soak our shirts in water and wrap them around our face, and we would go downstairs. When they came up from the from the street. They were full of tar and plaster and dust and blood. And so we knew that what was going on outside was not good. And as we descended into the street on Broad Street, it was pitch black at 11:47 in the morning. You literally, I remember distinctly trying to look at my hand, and I could not see my hand in front of my face. And as we got down to the street, there was probably three and a half feet of ash on the ground. This was obviously post-collapse of the building. And I know we've all seen that video of the when the buildings collapsed, of the smoke and the debris coming through those streets. And that was actually Broad Street, which is the street that we walked down that day. So as we got out, there were eight of us traitors and four police officers, two on each side. And we walked arm in arm down the middle of the street through as if it was a snowstorm, literally as if it was an avalanche of ash. And we walked eight blocks arm in arm down to the Staten Island Ferry before we saw any kind of a sky. And when we got down there, you could see people on the Hudson River side were jumping into the river because debris was falling, and they did not know whether we were still under attack or what. We walked over to the east side, and there were people hopping on ferries that were going to Brooklyn, and we proceeded to go up the FDR, which is the highway, that the east side highway of Manhattan, New York City, and we climbed up the highway in the middle of the road, and we were confused. We didn't know whether we were going to still be attacked or whatnot. My fear was that if we were still to be attacked, that they were going to bomb the highway. So we climbed down off the highway into Little Italy. One of the gentlemen who was walking with us, uncle owned a small bistro in Little Italy, and we went to him and knocked on the door. He let us in, and we went down to the basement, and we proceeded to, you know, try and calm ourselves down. It was traumatic. It was devastating. And we had a couple of shots of grappa or something. I don't really remember at the time. Perhaps it was vodka. And everybody stayed there for about an hour before we continued our walk. We ended up going to St. Vincent Hospital, where there were bodies all over the place, triaging people who were survivors. And then we walked up to Penn Station. I did not return home after walking over 130 blocks. Until 5:47 that afternoon.
Peter, thank you so much for your very emotional view of this day. Then the New York Stock Exchange was closed for a few days. Markets went down, but it was not a huge crash, right? So it was not maybe when you know what happened this day, maybe you could expect a bigger crash, but it didn't happen so badly, right?
Well, you know, I was reading about it. My memory wasn't clear about how the market. We were closed for a week, and we opened the following Monday, and we opened with a lot of sort of NYSE strength, New York City strong. We had Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer, Richie Grasso, the head of the stock exchange. Rudy Giuliani, in fact, was there that day. I guess he was the mayor at the time, and there was a lot of fire department people, first responders who came. It was a big fanfare, just showing that we were back and that America was strong and whatnot. And but as I read this morning, because my memory was not clear about it, the market did go down quite significantly. I believe we had an initial move of about 2%. And by the over the week, never before had the stock market actually been closed for that long. And obviously, there was a lot of fear and anxiety of what was going on. I believe the day ended down 5%. So there was quite a significant pullback in the market. And I believe over the next number of weeks, the market did respond quite significantly on the downside.
So looking back 20 years, do you see any changes that are still there because of 9/11?
Oh, absolutely. You know, look, it took easily 10 years to bring the financial district of New York City back to some level of semblance of sanity, to be perfectly honest. There are still blocks that you walk down that you can see still the significance of that day. Literally 10 years later, you know, you could, when you took the subway and you walked some of the small little streets on Lower Manhattan, it was clear that the city was really having a struggle to get back to any kind of pre-9/11 semblance of normalcy. But clearly, look, the security here is super high. The streets here are completely blocked off. There's nothing but walking streets anywhere within the general area of the financial district. We've got these steel girders that come up blocking in case of anybody were to try and attack the financial district with a truck or a car bomb or whatever. So clearly the New York City area will never be the same. The security is heightened, and the security here at the stock exchange is too. Obviously, on that day now, we are all cordoned off. You have to have a high security pass to get in here. You have to go through 3, 4, 5 different checkpoints. And so clearly the world changed that day. The stock exchange, financial district, and everything changed that day.
But the community was always very strong. And when I see you, and I know you for 10 years now, for you, it was always clear to come back to the New York Stock Exchange to still work there. And the community was always strong. And I think this is a very positive thing.
Absolutely a positive thing. You know, we've talked about it relative to COVID. We talk about it relative to 9/11. The resilience of the human spirit is amazing. We've seen it throughout history. And surely when you have a place like that, how much we all love what we do here, and the financial district, the investment community, the family here at the stock exchange, we came back even more than we are coming back now after COVID. Everybody came to work on that day, Monday, and everybody came to work every day after that, showing that even though, and we've lost almost 50, 60 people from our community from disease that has come as a result of coming back to work, cancers that have permeated so many people's lives. We've lost a lot of people post 9/11 from disease that came from that time. For literally a year or two, we came down to work and the smell of sulfur and dust was prevailing this whole community. But it didn't matter. We came back. We were NYSE strong, New York City strong. We were here to support the community. The financial industry and the investment community was determined to show that nothing was going to shut us down. So in that way, that is a very positive sign of hope.
It's a great spirit. And thank you so much for your experiences. It's a hard break now, but coming back to current markets, Salah, you brought us the chart of the week, and we are talking about Lufthansa. The stock of the airline is a big loser in the last days and weeks. What do you see when you see the chart?
By the way, we had actually almost 100 of chart of the weeks a week this week. We had fun, interesting technical patterns. But going back to Lufthansa is in a trend continuation pattern. We are moving lower and lower, building lower highs and lower lows, which is indicating actually this downtrend. But now we are reaching a really important make or break situation. We are testing this upward trend line that is almost since end of 2020, and we are testing now and breaking. So if we see a pullback heading back to this trend line and will not succeed above this coming back above this trend line, then we will continue actually this trend that we have seen before. IG is offering now turbo certificates for equities, especially for Lufthansa, for example. And if you are deciding to play this gameplay, this trend continuation pattern, you can use puts, or either you say, come on, this is the end, this make or break will actually stop the support, or the support will help us and bringing you with a call to the upside.
Thank you, Salah. Let's go back to Peter. Let's talk about the current market situation. My feeling is markets are more or less going sideways. What are the important topics, and are you looking for some new topics that markets have a reason to go up or down?
So look, we always revert to our friend Salah, who talks about seasonality. You know, there is a funny adage on Wall Street during the Jewish holidays where you sell the market on Rosh Hashanah and you buy the market back on Yom Kippur. It is actually originally not a financial adage. It comes from the fact that the Jewish people should purge themselves of assets during this time of consolidation and reflection on their year and their sins. And if we let go of all of our assets on Rosh Hashanah as we ring in the new year, and then after we discuss our sins of the year on Yom Kippur, and we ring in the new year. Then we once again make purchases back, and then we can continue our year. This has been a seasonality that has worked quite well over the years, and once again this year it has done quite well. Last Sunday night was Rosh Hashanah, and if you shorted the market on Sunday, Monday, you've done quite well. We opened, we had 3 days of a down market, and nothing majorly down, but surely we've had a few hundred point move on the downside in the SPY and on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Even though this morning was a bit of a dead bounce, we did open up 200 plus points. The market quickly reverted, consolidated, reflected on the seasonality, and traded right back down to flat and slightly negative. So in that way, that trade is good. If we look at the broader picture now, look, the markets are trading at record highs. We do have inflation stories. We do have the Federal Reserve questioning the tapering story. We do have the employment story, right? We do have the three Vs, volatility, vaccine, and the virus, which are still permeating the markets. I think the employment story is important to notice, though. Right. You know, there is a number that came out, 10.9 million jobs are available, right, which is more than people thought. They thought there was 10.1. Unemployment, the employment rate, while stable, is having problems because, as I just mentioned, relative to 9/11, people are not rushing back to work. Right. We did have a suspension of unemployment benefits for 7 million Americans expire on Monday. Well, what does that mean? People who have been able to get stimulus, to be able to survive through the COVID story, who had benefits that were going forward, have now been cut off. So we're going to have to really see where the rubber hits the road here and know whether people should be going back to work. Are they going back to work? Are they afraid of going back to work? We are seeing that restaurants are now, who survived through COVID, are now closing because they have no people to work. We're seeing in a lot of industries that there is a shortage of people to go to be employed, right? And I don't know if that's fear, anxiety about the virus or what. People have been sheltered in place for a year and a half, and maybe that muscle has not been activated yet. I know I like to go back to work the minute I'm able to. A lot of people, I cannot imagine what people have gone through over the last couple of years, losing jobs, losing family members, having children, health care, child care, whatever. We know that everybody is going through quite a time. But the economy, the markets are strong. The economy is fragile. We still have a virus that's roaring through the world. We still have inflation stories. We still have an expiration of a lot of the benefits that the Federal Reserve has put on. We don't know what the tapering story is. So look, we're going to either leg up and explode into a world where everybody's going back to work and the virus is contained, or we're going to run into some headwinds when we have a taper by the Federal Reserve, whether we have an employment story that's running through obstacles. There's unknowns. The best I can say to your question is, I don't know.
Yeah, one unknown that we already missed since we had this corona pandemic is the trade war, the trade conflict between US and China. And last week I heard that Biden and President Xi Jinping in China, they had a call and they are starting to build up their relationship. So there is some kind of positive sentiment regarding this topic. What do you think, Peter? I think this topic will last more than about maybe a decade. This conflict will still lay there. But now I can see some positive euphoria. What do you think about this conflict that will come back to the stage soon?
Look, we saw it be a problem under the Trump administration. It was one of the things, depending whether we talked about tariffs or trade wars with China. Obviously, they are our largest trading partner, and that really moved the market, right? We saw that under the Trump administration. And I think it is an underlying problem right now. I think that while the Federal Reserve talked about a fear of tapering now because they did not want to do anything to dislocate a economic recovery, I don't believe the Biden administration will do anything to jeopardize the Chinese trade story, which could undermine the market's recovery story and the economic recovery also. So I don't know. There is a lot of tension. There's a lot of global tension internationally around the Afghanistan story, about the new administration with Biden, about the Chinese story, about the question of where the virus came from and what the intent of everybody is, motives and whatnot. So I'm hopeful that we're able to figure out that story. You know, we don't really want them to be painted as the bad guy, but we don't know what their motives are. You know, China is very, you know, they are the guys who are holding their cards quite tight to the vest, right? They are the guy at the poker table who's not really showing anybody what they're doing. So that could be a problem going forward. I would hope that the Biden administration will try and open that door and get things back to normal.
Thank you so much, guys. Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, and Salah Idil Boumidi, the head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, everybody.
Good luck, guys. Happy trading.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thank you so much. Take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.